Please welcome Scott Hueler.
Thank you. So this is not a story about darts and competition. This is a continuation of the Great Apes and Journalists portion of today. This is a story about when I used to work at the News and Observer, and I sat at the end of my time at the News and Observer on the state news desk, and I was so bitterly unhappy as a reporter at the state news desk, and the editors there were so thoroughly sick of hearing me complain pretty much full time, which is what I was doing then, that to this day nobody can recall that whether when Sidney the chimp escaped from the Charlotte Metro Zoo and spent a week on the rampage in the suburbs of Charlotte and was a legitimate state news story, whether they were saying, it's an escaped chimp, get in the car and go to Charlotte and, you know, write a story. And I was saying, it's just another fucking pet story, I don't want to write it. And or I was saying, come on, it's an escaped chimp, let me go to Charlotte and write a story about it. And they were saying, no. We want you to sit at your desk and get statistics and write stories in the passive voice, please. So sometime since I started in journalism, newspapers went from being about telling stories to being about providing information, whatever information is. And so I was a man without a country. I was an exile on the state news desk. But Sydney stayed out for about a week, and we came to the point where I had to get in the car and go to Charlotte, which I did. And I drove to the Charlotte Metro Zoo. And when I say the Charlotte Metro Zoo, I don't want you to think San Diego Zoo or Washington Zoo. The Metro Zoo is a roadside zoo. I want you to think bars on the cages. I want you to think little, like, backyard enclosure-style things, only instead of a five-year-old with a runny nose, there's a buffalo in there or an ostrich or something. Like, the reptile exhibit is an aquarium with a screen on top of the aquarium and a rock on the screen, you know, and like a desk lamp, like if your cousin had a chameleon or something. That's what the Metro Zoo is. Everybody knows somebody who gets one of those exotic pets, right? Look, dear, I brought home a serval. And, you know, about a week after that, either your wife or your mother says, get that thing out of my house! What happens to those? They go to Steve at the Charlotte Metro Zoo. Steve is a guy. He lives in Charlotte. He has all these pets. He's just been an animal guy. His house is surrounded by acres of territory with lions and things like that all in their own enclosures. So I call Steve and I tell him I'm coming. And I drive to Charlotte. And I drive by the little tiki hut where they would take your money, but it's early in the morning, there's nobody there. I park the car and I knock on the door, and I hear, so I open the door and I'm like, it's Hueler from NNO, looking for Steve. The lady comes to the top of the stairs, she's got a little baby bottle and a wolf cub. And she said, Steve got a call, he had to go. He'll be back real soon. Wolf cubs can't help you, just take a walk around. So I said, okay. And I took a walk around. And I'm looking at the different enclosures and the weird animals that they have. And I find the cage where Sydney stays, where it's freshly welded because so that Sydney will stay inside next time. And if they ever get him back. And then I'm just kind of hanging around there considering my fate. And in drives a car and parks right in front of the chimp cage. And the door swings open and out steps this sort of slight guy with curly hair who I instantly recognize from news reports as Steve. And I step forward and I say, hi, Steve. I mean, he's like, hi. And the other door swings out and out comes this chimp, Sydney. He's doing that sort of bow-legged thing they have and he's dancing around and he's walking around. And so I'm very interested. I'm like, I think this is a story probably. And we're just kind of looking at the chimp, and everybody who works at the zoo sort of senses it and draws, and there's probably about 10 of us. And we're all standing and watching Sydney, and he's just walking around, and Steve can't get him to go into the cage. But Steve is just saying, you know, Sydney's comfortable, he's at peace. I drove, somebody saw him in their backyard, he jumped right in my arms. I think he's lonely, he's glad to be home, but he won't go in his cage, and let's push him. One of the guys, in fact, had a bulge under his satin jacket. And I said, oh, what's that? Is that like a dart gun? He said, no, a chimpanzee's a great ape. He's as strong as all of us put together. It's a shotgun. I was like, got it. And at this point, somebody, for some reason, slaps in my hand a video camera. So the next portion, I want you to imagine this through one of those 3/4-inch little black and white screens we used to look through. And so I'm looking at this. I'm a journalist, I guess it's my job, and I'm looking through this thing, and I see Sydney, he's kind of walking around, and all of a sudden he's like, and he starts walking towards me. And I remember standing there going like, you guys, I think he's coming right towards, and Steve yells, don't move. He probably just wants to hug you. And I'm thinking, great ape, shotgun, probably. What did probably? And as I'm parsing that, and I eventually I'm like looking directly down through the camera at that like Shemp of the Three Stooges haircut they all have, and sure enough, Sydney kind of gives me a little pat, and I'm like, okay, that's good. And we're friends. I am in the tribe. Sydney and I, we are brothers now. And he brings everybody over very patiently, one by one, and sits us all down in a circle. If anybody gets up to walk away, Sydney will sort of amble over and grab him by the hand and pull him back. So I'm like, I'm in a genteel fashion, I'm being held hostage by a chimp. Okay? And although he does seem to understand that I have work to do, I have no cell phone on my bars, I can't get any service, so he will let me walk down to the tiki hut and call my editor and come back. And I'm going down and saying, could you send a photographer up here? Because she's like, when's your story going to be in? Just, they didn't want to hear from Hewler at the News and Observer, as it's long been the case. And so we're all sitting around, and Sydney sits next to this animal control guy, and he starts unbuttoning his shirt. And we're all sort of exchanging glances. And now this is significant because when he escaped, Sydney, the first thing he did actually was disgrace himself on the leg of a zoo employee. So we're rather concerned when Sydney was interested in undressing. But no, he just took the guy's shirt off and started grooming him, which everybody took as a very good sign that Sydney felt at home and as part of his group again. But then he went through the guy's shirt and found a package of Marlboro Reds. And so he took one out, popped it in his mouth, and kind of looked around at us for a minute. And we all kind of went, you know, you just see thought bubbles like, the fuck? The fuck? The fuck? Over everybody's head. And then Sydney gets up and he walks over to the car and he reaches and he starts whacking around on the dash. And the animal control guy takes out his lighter and he says, do you think he wants a light? Clicks the thing. Sydney goes, comes right back up, pulls his head. Oh, thank you. I can sit and have a smoke like God intended for a chimp. And Sydney is relaxing, and we're all just, okay, this is a different day than I expected to have. But I can manage. I'm maintaining. And more, two things are happening slowly. They keep trying to give Sydney fruit with sedative in it or juice with sedative in it. He will eat the fruit without it, and then he'll take a bite, throw away the sedative. Same thing with the juice. Sydney is very smart. He knows what's going on. And more journalists are showing up, especially TV journalists with cameras, which Sydney takes a complete dislike to and will stand up and wave his arms at them and stamp his feet a little bit. He doesn't like them. It's plain. So at one point, I go down to the Tiki Hut to call my editor yet again. This is going on for hours. I'm sitting on this hostage drama, this pleasant hostage drama. And I'm standing there talking on the phone in this open-air tiki hut, and I hear stamping and banging, and then boom, 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 here comes Sydney galloping down the hill. I did something at that moment that I'm proud of to an amazing degree. I jumped up on the desk in the tiki hut. He can't get me up here. I'm safe now. I was like a lady in a cartoon who saw a mouse. You know, I did everything but hoist up my skirts and say, eek! And then I see Sydney make his way back up. So I say to my editor, I gotta go. Something's going on. So I went back up, and Sydney's smoking again. He has apparently bitten one of the TV cameramen down to the bone. He has bitten him. And so he's just trying to regain his sense of himself. And in fact, he finishes one cigarette and pulls out another one and lights it off the coal of the old one. He is chain smoking. Sydney has had a long day, a long week. Fortunately, at this point, it's worth pointing out that the sedatives and probably Sydney's week on the lam have begun taking a little bit of effect. So Steve says, here's what I want everybody to do. Everybody come around Sydney and kind of pat him a little bit. So like something out of a Stephen King story, we all kind of condense around Sydney and we're gently patting him. And Sydney seems to like it and he's getting a little sleepy. And then he says, okay, now everybody gently pretend like you're pinching him. Kind of just do these little pinching motions. And so we're doing that, and then under cover of these little pinching motions, Steve jabs him with the sedative and squeezes it, and 30 seconds later, Sydney's sleeping like a baby. Steve carries him in, puts him in his enclosure, and locks him in, and thank goodness it's all good. So I quick get everybody's name. I have a job to do, and I drive to a barbecue restaurant, and I whip out my laptop, and I'm sitting there trying to say, how am I going to get this incredible day, all these things that have happened? This is an amazing story, and I'm going to put it all together. And I managed to squeeze it all into 25 inches, which is probably about, you know, 700 words or so at the most, and squeeze this whole amazing story. And in fact, even the people who worked at the zoo came into the barbecue restaurant. And I said, read this and tell me, did I get this right? Is this? They read it and they're like, wow, you caught this amazing, weird, insane experience of, you know, holding hands with the chimp and smoking cigarettes and all this weird shit. And, you know, I went into their kitchen and unplugged the phone and plugged it to the back of my laptop in these, like, pre-wireless internet days. And I shot it to my editor, and I started driving home. I was so happy, and pulled over to the side of the road once I had cell phone service again. And I called my editor, and I said, did you get the story? Where are we? And she said, what were you thinking? And I said, oh, yeah, it was so weird. What could you think when this chimp? She said, no, what were you thinking? You sent me a 25-inch story. I have 10 inches of space for this. I have no place to put this story. And I was thinking, I could think of some place you could put it, keep it real nice and warm, you know? And we fought. And she's like, we have 10 inches. That's what the story is going to be. And we cut and cut and cut and cut and cut. And, you know, Sydney the chimp was safely returned to custody and, you know, blah, blah, blah. One line I did get in, I said, when I noted the bite of the TV cameraman, I did say, for the record, when introduced to a print reporter, Sydney hugged the reporter. You may draw your own conclusions. But I was driving home, and I was going back to exile, and I was like, you know, Sydney's back in his cage, and I'm going back to my cage, and what do I do now? What do I do? And I suddenly thought, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I realized that this 40-inch Zen master had come, he had called me from Charlotte to him. He had stayed for a weekend, made me come, and he had sat down and companionably smoked a cigarette with me, and he had said, you know, Scott, if you're going to wait for those bastards to open up the cage for you, that's not going to happen. Sometimes you have to just rip open the bars and run, and I'm still running today. Thank you very much.
Scott Hewler.